my molar. Back there, a molar? I wonder why they call them molar instead of big chewing teeth. I don't even know. I would just call them big chewing teeth. But maybe molar is the Mexican word for big chewing teeth. I didn't even think of that till just now. Well, listen, church, I'm so glad these children are up here. They got a chance to go back and meet Jesus in a way that is unique to them. They can go back in a classroom and enjoy and color and read stories and be together as they experience Jesus in a way. We have teachers and classrooms. If you'd like to be a part of that, I'd encourage you to, on that back wall up there above your head, on the inside, you can see the children's team leader or anybody on that children's team. If you'd like to be a part of that, would you just ask? These classrooms are full of children wide open to meet their Savior. And you can help us with that. So, church, we're going to pray. We're going to ask God to bless these children. Super bless those teachers, because you guys look like trouble. Especially you. So let's all of us cowboys pull our hats off. Let's all of us bow our head and close our eyes so we can focus on Jesus while we pray for just 1 minute. Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing us here. Thank you for getting us up and getting us started. Thank you for those biscuits. Thank you for that coffee. Lord, it's a blessing that this church can share coffee with children. And so we just ask for your blessing, your presence. We just ask for you to do what only you can do. Bless those teachers and these children. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, get you a cup of coffee on the way out. Everybody, you got coffee already, didn't you? Tea? You'll grow up one day. And they didn't even stampede. Just give me Jesus. Amen. We could go home. But I'm glad we ain't, because I'm so encouraged, legit, like I'm just over the moon encouraged in my faith, in my walk, because of my personal commitment. And I'm not bragging, man, I'm fallen, broken, messy. If you've been around me, I ain't telling you nothing you don't know. I got no more Jesus than anybody else in here's got. I don't do things different than everybody, including the Pope. Now, I do things different than the Pope. Anyway. But here's what I want to say, is that what encourages me and what the last few weeks I really found myself standing in and standing on, and is just realizing that all of our faith, all of our walk, all of who we are, what we are, how we are, why we are, all of that depends on Jesus, our Savior. Depends on Jesus. Say that with me. Jesus. We're going to get all up. But what that means is that I just got to realize what my responsibility is, what the thing that I've got to do. And what I recognize in Jesus that I want to share with you that helps me so much is that I don't ever see Jesus in a big old hurry to get nowhere. No, just let that sink in. I don't see Jesus in John 11, if you got your Bibles with you, get to John chapter 11, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 11. This will probably be familiar to you. If you ain't got a Bible, poke your hand up. We buy them by the truckload. We give them away. I want you to have one, keep it, write in it, color in it, scribble in it, write questions in it. Go, what'd that preacher say? ? And if the Bible gets too busy for you, like you can't read it no more, put it down or give it to somebody and get you another one and start all over. But don't put them back there on that shelf. You get you a Bible, you keep it. But in 11, you might be familiar with this story. There was a guy named Lazarus. He was sick, and he lived in Bethany with Mary and Martha, his sisters. But in verse 4 of 11, it says this. But when Jesus heard about this, because they had sent somebody to go tell Jesus that their brother was sick, probably fixing to die. Great concern. This was an emergency. But when Jesus heard this, it says in 4, this is what Jesus said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. So, although Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, he just stayed where he was for the next 2 days. And what I want you to notice is that he wasn't all anxious and all wound up like, how much more time till we get out of here? I got to go. Jesus just stayed. And you know why? Because he's God. Because he knew before that was going to happen. He knew what was going on right then in the present moment. And he knew what was going to happen down the road. You and I don't. Jesus does. And what I want to recognize is that all Jesus did was trust his Father. When he was talking about this is good. And so we know that he raised Lazarus from the dead a couple days later. He said, roll the stone away. Lazarus, come out of there. And he just got up. Well, he said, take the grave clothes off that man. We know that that's the truth. Read it. Don't just take my word for it. But what I want you to recognize is Jesus didn't get all anxious like, oh, my goodness. Oh, Lord, what do I got to do? What do I got to do? What do I got to do? We better get going. Now, he already knew. He already knew. He was super cool. And what I want to say is Jesus was always okay with just being present where he was right then. I'm pretty good at that, personally. I know maybe some of you are, but I know a lot of us are not. We got crap going on in our head. In the King James, that's crappeth. And it just keeps us kind of jacked. It just keeps us pressing. It just keeps us thinking about the next thing we got to do and how that might turn out and what's going to go on. And then don't get all big-eyed. That's just real. And we can't be in the moment because we're always thinking about the next moment. We can't be here because I'm remembering what it was. We can't stay because I got to keep myself moving. And Jesus was never like that. And here's what I want to say is that if Jesus lives in me and Jesus lives in you, just give me Jesus, he said, then how come I struggle like that? Jesus is in me. So if I'm fighting that means I'm fighting Jesus. Are you with me? If I'm fighting that, I'm thinking, all right, Jesus, you're the creator of the world. You're God. You know everything. You know what has been, what's happening now, what's going to be. I know you know all that, but let me make some decisions for my dang self. Can I get an amen? Amen. Don't lie. See, that's where all that anxiety comes from. That's where that anxious comes from. That's where all that comes from is me thinking, I got to do the one thing that I've never been told to do. Never been told to do. Be in charge. Hold the phone, man. Be in charge. No. The sovereign God of creation is in charge. He already knows. He already knows what happened. He knows why. He knows what's going on, and he knows why. And he knows how it's going to turn out, and he knows why. And I don't know none of that. So I'm always trying to think ahead. I'm always trying to figure it out. I want to get caught up like this. I got Jesus in me and the God of creation who is cool, who is relaxed, who is quiet. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to outthink you. I got to be thinking about that tomorrow. I got to be thinking about how this may or may not go. I got to try to cover all my bases. I got to make plans for things I don't even know are happening yet. You don't have to raise your hand if that's you. But open your eyes. The God of creation lives inside of you and I, who already knows, who's already figured it out. And all he wants me to do is be with him. That's what Jesus says all the time. Walk with me. Instead of me getting all anxious and getting tired and getting confused and getting stressed out about what I got to do, my struggle is just to be with Jesus and then see what God's doing and let God lead us. Let God move us. Let God change us. Let God do what God does, and then I'll do what I do. And God's in charge, and I'm what we know of as a follower. Not the boss of. Not the one who's got to figure it out. Not the one who has to make these decisions. I'm a follower. Oh, man, that's hard for some of us. That's a big, big problem for some of us because, you know what? We're accustomed to making some choices, making decisions. And I ain't telling you you're wrong. We got to make some decisions, but do you include God in that? Do your decisions go through Jesus? Or do you, like me sometimes, just go, that's why you made me so smart, Lord. I know what I'm going to do. Because I am smart. And I bet you are too. Maybe not as smart as me. I'm not judging you, though. But the reality is, if I want to be with Jesus, and Jesus lives inside of me, then I got to quit fighting him. And I have to allow Jesus to lead me. And that kind of flies in the face of everything I've learned in my whole life. Get up, stand up, pull yourself up by your boots. Try again, try harder, get busy, be about it. What, I let the world influence me, and I have the Savior living in me. Oh, I struggle with that. I battle with that. That's just part of this life. I try to live better, be smarter, make better decisions. And I try to do that without consulting Jesus. I convince myself that I'm that smart. I'm convincing myself all the time that I already know. And instead of slowing down, chilling just a minute, letting God do what only God can do, and then me being obedient to listen, I just pull the trigger on the next thing. And then I think, oh, Lord, get me out of this mud hole. I fight and I strive and I struggle. I try to live better, sin less, pray more, pray without ceasing. All these things that the Bible says for me to do. And I think that's changing me. And then I'm frustrated and I'm anxious and I struggle. And I think to myself, oh, my goodness, why is this so hard? I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be who he's called me to be. But I got this thing inside of me that's called sin that makes me want to be independent. And this whole book, front to back, teaches a dependence on God. Teaches me, tells me, warns me, helps me, grows me to be dependent on God as opposed to me and the decision maker, the one in charge. Because that's what I want to do. That's what the world's taught me to do. That's what the world's taught you to do. It goes against our nature to be dependent when I so want to be independent. And what's going on then is I'm falling in right into the devil's trap. Because the devil is in charge of the world. See old Slick? Oh, he's not some red, horned, cape, cow-footed, prancing around, giggling, in charge of hell. He is a defeated foe who will be in hell. And his only purpose is to screw up our witness. And you know what he wants to do? Distract us from being with Jesus. Brett, you're that smart. You've already been there. You know, learn from the world. See, the devil wants us to fall into that trap and think, you know what? I know. This is how I'm going to go. In Matthew chapter 16, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In Matthew chapter 16, drop back to your left. In Matthew chapter 16, way down there, there's a story about in 16, Jesus is walking along with the boys, and he says, hey, who do people say that I am? And Peter just burst out, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says to Peter, and I'm shortening the story up, Jesus says to Peter, hey, my Father, God in heaven, he gave you that because you didn't know that just a minute ago. And Peter goes, that's right. I didn't know that. I just got that. I just received that. And Jesus says, but here's what I want you to know. And so when we get into 16 and we get down there in 22, Jesus has said, now listen, you all know this is the truth, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to die. I'm going to go to the cross. It's going to be a battle. There's going to be suffering. This don't last like this. And everybody, all the disciples go, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then Peter gets Jesus by and he said, hey, Jesus, you ain't got to worry about none of that. I got a pistola. I got my sword. I got your back. You ain't got to worry about getting killed by nobody. I want you to see what Jesus said. In 21, it said, Jesus turned to Peter and he said, get away from me, Satan. Is that what it said? Get away from me, Satan. He looks at Peter and he said, get away from me, Satan, because Peter had fallen into the trap of the devil. He got all caught up in what he was thinking. He got caught up talking about, obviously the creator of the universe don't know everything. He don't know how bad I am. He don't know that I'll defend him. Jesus said, get away from me, Satan. You're a dangerous trap to me. You're seeing things merely from a human point of view and not from God's point of view. And Jesus said to his disciples, you know these words? If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways and take up your cross and follow me. That take up your cross, turn from your selfish ways, get out of your own head, follow me, means that it's going to be a struggle because it's going against everything that we've learned, everything that we know, everything we've been taught. It's a battle for us. But here's the thing, we've done it before, we've tried real hard before, we've succeeded a little bit and then we failed and succeed a little bit and then we fail and so then we get tired of it. And you know what we do? I'm guilty of it. We just kind of learn the lingo. We just talk the talk. We just try to keep it up, pretense. We get into our routines. I'm going to church every Sunday, so that suits me just fine. I pretty much don't cuss hardly ever anymore. I've never murdered anybody anyway. So we get good at just the lingo, at the tradition, at the routines. And we feel like because we're really good at that, I must be following Jesus. I must be doing what Jesus wants us to do. And the reality is, it's not true at all. All I've done is kick that can down the road a minute. And then somewhere down there, all that anxious turmoil and trouble catches up to me. And then I kind of blow up. And then after I blow up, I hole up, get away by myself. I don't want to be around no Christian people because I'm mad. I don't want people to help me because I don't want no help. You know what I'm going to do? I'm better off by myself. And then I look up and I've been in that far country for a long time. I've been way out there and I think to myself, Lord, if I could only get with Jesus, if I could only be where Jesus is, I'm going to head back home. You know that story. And the reality of all of that is that's you and I being independent. That's you and I doing the thinking, trying to be in charge, doing what we've never been called to do instead of being a follower. Just to go be where Jesus is, to be with him, to be relaxed, to be in the present now. Because Jesus ain't going anywhere. He's always been. He always will be. There's not a time when I'm without. It's just me that has put him behind me. It's just me that fell into the trap. It's just me that made a decision. You know what free will is? You making a decision. Jesus is in you. We know the truth, but we make a decision. So here's what I want to say. If I want to be a better Christian, we automatically think, I know what I'll do. I'm going to read more. I'm going to try harder, not cussing, drinking, dipping, smoking, or going with girls that do. I'm going to work at it. I'm steady. And I'm committed to that thing right now. From here on out, I'm trying harder. And can I tell you, that's not what the Bible teaches? The Bible teaches, just get closer. Everything about the Bible, everything about Scripture teaches me and you, just get closer. Be with, be present, be where Jesus is. If He's in me, and I want to be closer to Jesus, then I ought to stop. I ought to shut up. I ought to listen. I ought to just be present because Jesus is. I can accept the comfort of a Savior. Oftentimes I just don't want to. I'm trying to be in control of what I want to do, of what I think is my life, and I realize that if I really want to do this well, I need to follow where Jesus is leading me. You know, I can do a lot of great things. I can give, I can build, I can go, and I can do. And I can do a lot of great things that ain't going to amount to anything. I can just keep kicking that can down the road. But there's only one way that amounts to anything. And in John 15, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In John chapter 15, in verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Underline this part. But apart from me, you can do nothing. So if I'm out there trying to give and build and go and do it on my own because I think that's what I'm supposed to be doing, but I've left Jesus behind, I can do nothing. And then I get frustrated because the results weren't what I was hoping they'd be. I get frustrated because it didn't turn out like I thought it should. I get frustrated because people don't hear me like I thought they should. I get frustrated because people don't follow me like I thought they should. But I was doing it on my own, as opposed to allowing Jesus to lead me. And then me follow Jesus. And then I look behind me and we're all following Jesus. And it ain't about me. It's about the Savior of the world. Getting close to Jesus is what really matters. Remain in Him and He in us. My goal is not to try harder to be a Christian. My goal is to be closer to the Savior of the world. Let that sink in a little bit. That'll help us. That'll help us in everything that we're doing, everywhere we're going, all the things that we have, all the things that we want, all the things that are. If I live my life thinking I need to be a better Christian, if I live my life trying harder to stop sinning, if I live my life in my flesh trying to do what only the Savior of the world can do, I'm just going to get frustrated. But if I just go be with Jesus, if I just get closer, and I get closer in prayer, I get closer in the Word, I get closer by desiring that, not by trying to produce it, but by desiring to be closer. The reality of all of that is that I get led by my feelings and my emotions way too often, and not led by Jesus. And what that comes down to in Matthew 28, 11 and 28, drop backwards, Matthew 11 and 28. You know these words? Have you ever heard this before? I hope you'll underline them in your Bible. And then Jesus said, come to me. This is the solution to everything that ails me. This is the one thing that we miss in the Bible and the one thing that is more important than anything else. Come to me, all you who are weary, carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. That's not you taking a day off. That's you getting close to Jesus. That's not me trying to figure out when I get a minute to myself. That's me drawing closer to the Lord. Oh, that's a big thing. That's more than we know. And what I want to say, if we know that that is true, can I tell you something that might help more than you know? It's all going to be okay. I don't know what you're going through now, but it's all going to be okay. You see, the Lord Jesus, the Savior of the world, very God, already knows what you've been through and why. He already knows what He's doing in you and how. He currently is doing in you exactly what He wants to do. And He knows where He's taking us. It's going to be okay. Regardless of what it looks like right now, it's going to be okay. The Bible doesn't tell us this world gets better and better, happier and happier, skittles and rainbows everywhere. And then all of a sudden Jesus comes back. He said it gets worse. More strife, more struggle, more pain, more destruction, more bad. And then one day that eastern sky splits wide open. And we all get the reins of that white pony. And it is on. But here's what I want you to know. It's going to work out. Slow down. Now, you ain't got to figure nothing out. God already knows. He is using everything in your story to weave all things together for your good. The mud hole you've been in, the mud hole you're in, the one you think you're about to step into. He's using the good, the happy, the beautiful, the pretty, the fun. He's using the fight. He's using the struggle. He's using the doubt. He's using the fear. He's weaving all things together for the good of those who believe in Him. I trust that. I see that in Scripture, and I want that to be. And so when I fall, when I stumble, when I wreck out, when I get my wheel in the ditch, and I'm battling, and I feel like, oh my gosh, whew, how could He ever? This Bible tells me all I got to do is start now. Doesn't tell me I got to go clean up. Doesn't tell me to get the mud off of me. It doesn't tell me to go change my shoes. Doesn't tell me to wipe my face. He said, come to me. Every time. And I can tell you, I've had a lot of times. And I felt like, I just need to go off and be by myself. I just need to quit. I'm overwhelmed with my own battles. And then I realized, He just says, come to me. Be where I am. When we were children, our parents, when you have children and you look down at your children and you see that kid standing up on his own, and he takes that one wobbly step. That's why we call them toddlers. And then they crash to the ground. Nobody ever got upset and said, boy, you better get up out of there. You dingbat, what's wrong with you? We 100% know those children have got to try and keep on trying. They have a desire to come where I am. Can I tell you, God sees us in the very same way. We'll live this life taking every one of those wobbly steps for all our days here. Or some of us will walk sooner and walk further, but we're all toddlers. And every time we stumble, God does the same thing. He just reaches out His hand, just like you did. And He wants to take you by the hand and pick you up and encourage you to take another step. That's the Savior of the world. That's what grace upon grace. That's what love and mercy do for us. Can I tell you this? I just want to go to Proverbs 3 in the Old Testament. When you get past the Psalms. In Proverbs 3 and verse 5. We say these words. They're sung in song. We know these things. But do you know these words? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He'll show you what path to take. The preacher in Hebrews said this in Hebrews 12:12. So take a new grip with your tired hands. When you reached out for your child's hand, he just took a hold. And when the Lord reaches out for me and you, just take a hold and stand up and take another step. And let's run this race, this life, to the very end. Not striving, not struggling, not trying to win anything, but following the Savior of the world who's leading me through the straight and the narrow. I'm going to shut up. Let's pray. Lord, I struggle with me, and I am so moved to be able to open your word and see the truth that you're in charge. You're sovereignly working in all things at all times. There's never been a moment that's taken you by surprise. There'll never be a moment that takes you by surprise. That while I know it's true that all things are working together to build me, to grow me, to move me, to take me where you're taking me, I sometimes misinterpret that. And I feel like you're trying to teach me to be independent. And then I open your word and I see that you just call me closer to you. Not on my own, but to follow. To be where you are. To live like you have lived. You living inside of me should be enough to direct my every single step and all my words. Yet, I just take over. I thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love that teach me, help me, grow me, and show me. And that one day, when I too will cross that river, and I'll stand there looking at them pearly gates, that stable full of white horses, and you'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You learned to walk. You learned to stay. Come on. Thank you, Lord, for all that you are and all that you've done. And we ask for a blessing, forgiveness, and we accept your grace and mercy in the precious, holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I laid my burden down, glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I laid my burden down, oh, I feel better, so much better. Since I laid my burden down, I feel better, so much better. Since I laid my burden down, and I'm on my way to that great city. Since I laid my burden down, I'm on my way to that great city.